Well, I do hope everyone had a lovely Christmas, or as best Christmas as you can do. Seems to fly by, doesn't it? Absolutely fly by. Do lots of people spend time with their families? Yeah, good. Lots of laughs, lots of memories made.
Bring and share lunch next Sunday.
Yes, bring and share lunch next Sunday. That's right after the service, by the way. So the clue's in the name. Bring something along and we all eat lunch together. All right? Amen. 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 Well, at the beginning of 2025, as Jill has already prayed, I wonder whether you, like me, have already spent some time wondering and pondering what this coming year may hold for you. The adventures, maybe, that you would like to have, the challenges that we may face, the new beginnings, maybe the goals that you have set yourself that you want to achieve this year. Maybe you see the start of 2025 as an opportunity to take up a new hobby. Anyone got that on their bucket list? No new hobbies. Okay, all right. Maybe to visit a new country or to visit somewhere you've never been before. Who wishes they could do that? Lots more people, yeah. Maybe to eat healthy. Maybe to exercise. Maybe there's a myriad of things that I'm sure people have considered. But maybe you're in the camp who looks at the new year as just the same as last. It's just the same as last year, and your goal is just to carry on as you did last year. However you personally choose to approach the next 12 months and beyond, this morning, on this first Sunday of 2025, I'm going to bring a challenge to every professing believer and follower of Jesus in this room this morning. But it is also a challenge for those who are here this morning who are searching. And I'll explain as we go. This challenge will require each and every one of us to ask some tough questions about ourselves and confront maybe our attitudes, our lifestyles, maybe even our world views, and require us to honestly look at ourselves and ask the question, how loyal and committed to being a disciple of Jesus am I really? If you are a believer, if you're searching, am I willing? Am I willing to commit to being a disciple of Jesus? Wherever you are this morning, one of those questions will apply. More so now than ever, in this land of confusion, people need the light, the hope of Jesus. Amen? Amen. And the grace-given gift of salvation through Jesus. And through the sovereignty of Almighty God, He has chosen Jesus' church via the help and guidance of the Holy Spirit to be the means through which His message is proclaimed to the world. How seriously do we as professing believers take that responsibility? Amongst all the reasons for God's incarnate coming to the earth in the person of Jesus, the greatest being His loving substitutionary sacrifice upon that cross and His raising to new life, is that He came to be a practical example to the church of how we are to be His faithful disciples and how we are to make disciples. Put the heading up for us, please, George. Thanks. How we are to be disciples and how we are to make disciples. Read with me, please, or follow me as I read. Mark 1, two verses this morning, 16 to 17. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men, of mankind, of man and woman. This seemingly simple passage at the beginning of Mark's gospel seems really insignificant in the grand scheme of Jesus' later teaching that he would go on to proclaim. But contained within the three in this verse are three principles that are essential to the life which we as believers should now live under the Lordship of Christ Jesus, and those who are searching will also be required to live under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Number one, we are expected to follow Jesus. The first words Jesus said, "Follow me, follow me." Not anyone else, not you, the social media influencer, not your favourite sports star, not your favourite musician. Follow me, Jesus says. So we have heard the gospel message. The Holy Spirit has guided us into accepting Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. And we have repented and we have been baptised. Praise God. Surely, all we now need to do is simply attend Sunday service when we can, get involved in some of the church activities, and when I have time amongst the busyness of my work and play, I'll read my Bible and spend some time praying. That's right, isn't it? That's all that's expected of us now. Friends, I suspect this description reflects far too many Christians' understanding and attitude to Christianity in this world in which we live, particularly in the West, more so in the West. But here's the thing. Jesus' expectation on us is not to simply be a Christian, which is just a title given to those who believe or claim to believe in Christ Jesus. Jesus expects those who believe by faith in him to submit to him as a disciple, as a student, and as a committed learner of his ways and his teachings, which we apply in our lives and then we model and proclaim to the world. This seems so basic, doesn't it? Particularly for Christians who have been Christians for many years. But you'd be surprised how many people forget that and slip back into that other mindset I read at the beginning of this first section. Is this not what Jesus clearly tells us throughout the Gospels? Take Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus told not the crowd, not the Pharisees or the Sadducees. Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And follow me. What about Luke's account of Jesus' words here, which are a lot more blunt? Whoever does not bear their own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple, Jesus says. Too often, Christians today use these words of Jesus here in these passages as taglines when we're facing a tough situation in our lives. It's my cross to bear. I'm sure we've all heard people say that. It's my cross to bear. But they miss the fundamental power and weight of what Jesus is saying here. A first century Jew would have known that bearing your own cross means only one thing: death. Death. As you carried your crucifixion cross to the place upon which you would be hung until you died. That is the expectation Jesus has on anyone who chooses to follow him: to have a willingness to die to ourselves and live for him totally, and not just bolt Jesus onto our lives. There's a big difference. Yes, this means that you may well lose friends along the way through your commitment to Christ. You may lose family members who fundamentally disagree with the decision you've making to follow Christ. You may lose your reputation. You may lose your job. You may lose your dreams, your hobbies, and yes, you may even lose your life, as many brothers and sisters around the world do for following Christ. But that is the potential cost of following Christ as one of his disciples. To follow Jesus isn't a one-time deal. It's a daily commitment, a daily commitment, a daily choice to wake up with an attitude every single morning: it is not I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the prayer to be on our lips every single morning is, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Do with me as you will. If we don't seriously surrender all to Jesus every day, and then the second principle found in today's passage becomes a lot harder. Point number two: we are required to be changed by Jesus. We are required to be changed by Jesus. In our passage, Jesus says, follow me. And he goes on to say, and I will make you. I will make you. Francis Chan is once quoted as saying, making disciples is all about seeing people transformed by the power of God's word. If you want to see that happen in others, he says, you need to be experiencing such transformation yourselves. It starts with us. It starts with us. Not anyone else, not the preacher on the platform, not the elders of the church, not anyone else that you think it should start with. It starts with us. It starts with us on our knees before Christ in prayer. It starts with us being willing to open that dusty Bible on our side table and start reading it and allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to us through it. It starts with us. For the last 52 Sundays, many of us have been in this very building on a Sunday morning attending church events, home groups, socials. But I wonder how many of us since the first Sunday last year, January 7th, 2024, have seen any real Christ-like change in their lives. and in our attitude toward this life. Only you know that. Only you and Christ know that. Are we able to look back and say confidently that we are now, today, more like Christ in our attitudes, in our outlook of the world and our mission in the world than we were this time last year? If so, then praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Keep going. Keep running your race. Because I know there are people in this room that can sit there and say, yes, I have seen myself grow more Christ-like, and I've seen Christ take me through things and make me better for it throughout this last year. I say amen. Amen. But if not, why not? Why not? It's not like you haven't been challenged every single Sunday you've come. Why not? Could it be that you still haven't fully surrendered your life to Christ? Could it be that you still have one foot in Christ, but one foot in the allures of this world in which we live? Friends, the very essence and meaning of being a disciple is to become like the Master. We cannot accomplish that half-hearted. We either need to fully commit and jump in, or let's not do it at all. Let's not be half-hearted. The wonderful promise by Christ in this passage, and he said, he will make us like himself. He will do that. He does the hard work through the power of the Holy Spirit. But he can only do that in the hearts of believers who are open and willing to be changed by him, who are actively practicing the fundamentals of a discipled life, which are a commitment to daily, daily worship. And I don't just mean for 10 minutes of the day. I mean throughout the day. Your life is a life of worship in everything you do. Everything you do. Whether it's all sun and roses and everything's going really well, or if your whole world is collapsing around you, you are still expected to worship. Because it's only Christ that gets us through those times. He is our stability. He is our strength. He is our source. He is our provider. He will guide us through those dark nights, those dark times, if we jump feet first and we give it all to him. Lord, I'm committing my life to you, and I'm trusting you to be able to guide me through this. Commitment to daily worship, a commitment to a life of prayer. Again, not just 5 minutes on the car on the way to work. Paul says, pray without ceasing. Well, how can I do that? It's very simple. Yes, there are times for intercessory prayer. Yes, there are times when we should be on our knees in prayer. But we should be living our everyday life, every minute of our day, in constant communion with our Heavenly Father. Bring him into your world, into your life. Talk to him. That's what having a relationship with God looks like. And the other commitment is to be absorbed in God's word constantly. Constantly. But I wonder how many Bibles sit gathering dust. Is this not what Jesus alludes to in John 18, 31, 32, when he says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth. And what? The truth will set you free. There is power in God's word. It is only through these daily commitments and our change in our attitudes that will be that Christ can change us, and we can be freed from those things that hold you pinned to this world. Those things that in the shadows you know, Lord, I shouldn't be doing this, but I just can't help myself. It is through our full commitment as a disciple of Christ that those things will be broken. Will be broken. Humanly followers of Christ live no different to the world around them simply because they are under the influence of the world. But I ask, how do those in the world see there is a different way? There is hope. And a better way if what they see is just a mirror image of themselves. This is why commitment to the journey of being transformed into the likeness of Christ is so important and has a direct impact on the third principle found in the words of Jesus in our passage this morning. And that is that we are commanded to join Jesus' mission. We are commanded to join Jesus' mission. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men, of mankind, of man and woman. Church, the reality is that Jesus could not have been clearer in his expectation upon his disciples and upon their disciples and every disciple that followed through the ages, right up until us here this morning and everyone that will go beyond us. He couldn't have been more clear when he said, go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, as he said in Matthew 28 before he ascended to heaven. Contained within these words are four cyclical tasks which have been the backbone of the church's mission for the last 2,000 years. And it will be until Jesus returns. He first says, go. That's a command. He doesn't say sit comfortable. He says go. That will be uncomfortable. It will be uncomfortable. But Christ leads the way and his Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the confidence to go if we're fully committed as a disciple and we ask him to give us that confidence. Trust me, I don't find it always easy. It makes me chuckle sometimes when people say, oh, you're super confident up on the stage. It's a lot different standing up here to going places where you don't know anyone and sharing Christ. But only through the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Christ can we do that. And Christ expects us to go. Hudson Taylor once said, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. The second thing Jesus says in this passage here is make disciples through the boldness of us to share the gospel and call people to repentance. He then goes on to say, and then baptize them. Baptize them based upon their public confession of faith. And then after you've baptized them, he says, teach them. Teach them, disciple them in the ways of Jesus and remember our Lord's sacrifice and communion. And then what is the hope? Once you've gone, once you've made a disciple through your boldness to share the gospel, once you've baptized them, and once you have taken them on a journey of teaching them the ways of Christ, what is the hope then for that person? That they do the same thing. It's a cycle. That's how the church has remained as it has done for the last 2,000 years under the influence and power of Christ. It's because of discipleship, the cycle, round and round and round. We become disciples, and our goal should be to make disciples so that when we go to glory, we're handing the baton on to those who we have discipled. Bill Hull, a discipleship evangelist, is quoted as saying, success should be measured not by how many disciples are made, but how many disciples are making disciples. How many disciples are making disciples? Let us ask ourselves, how well are we doing at making, at going and making disciples this morning? How good are we at baptizing them? Do you know what? If you get caught in a situation where you've brought someone to Christ and you're nowhere near the church, and there are witnesses there, and they are so fired up and they want to be baptized, find a tub. Baptize them yourself. You don't have to be a preacher or a minister or a pastor of a church to baptize someone. How good are we at being confident to baptize those who we bring to Christ? How good are we at teaching them the ways of Christ to the point that they then carry on this cycle? I've often wondered, and I put myself first in all of these things, because this is as much a challenge as it is for any of you, if for me as it is for any one of you. I've often wondered if, as God's people, we really understand God's heart when it comes to the church's mission within the world. Do we really, or are we able to really look through the lens of God's glasses to see the lost people around us every day and feel that sense of urgency to introduce them to Christ before it's too late? Do we really understand God's heart when He looks at the world? Do we see, do we pray for God to show us what he sees and feel what He feels? When He sees so many of His children lost and just doing what they want to do? Or have we become so comfortable? Have we become nominal believers who are just quite content with going through our own lives, happy that I am safe and secure in Christ? Because I tell you, that was a challenge for me. And it has been a challenge for me. Was a challenge, but it still creeps up. Friends, the simple fact that Christ came to the earth to die upon that Roman cross for the sins of the world, for your sin, for my sin, and every person who we know in our own world for their sin, and He brought to the world this invitation to follow Him by faith and receive a gift that we do not deserve, which is salvation, is remarkable. And it should give us an indication of how seriously He takes the responsibility that He has now placed upon the church, upon you and I. So with that being said, let me ask again the question that we began this morning. How loyal and committed to being a disciple of Jesus am I really? Are you really? Are you, how serious should I say, are you about accepting Christ and committing to a discipled life? I'm not talking about faith here in Christ. I'm talking about being a disciple of Christ. There are many Christians around the world who have faith in Christ. But how many have committed to being a fully committed disciple? Why is it so important, you may ask? Because if we don't ask this question of ourselves, and if required, as I've challenged this morning, to reset ourselves at the beginning of this new year, to get us back on that narrow path on a regular basis, then the reality is this knocks into the health and the mission of the church. And I would argue, if you spent some time, you would see that. You would see the consequences of that already today in our lives, where we've stepped off the path. The Lord impressed this on my heart strongly back over the in the summer last year. Actually, it was when me and Kelly were on holiday. Just really impressed this whole area of discipleship on my heart, which is part of the reason why, as a leadership team, we've been exploring the health of discipleship at Welcome. You may remember that we sent out the discipleship questionnaire asking your opinions and perspective on this, which was very interesting. And we thank you for doing that, because we appreciate it wasn't a two-minute job, but it was very, very helpful. And as we progress throughout this year, we will make some of the information on that, obviously confidentially, known to you, because it will warrant that. This subject also formulated the prayerful conversations that myself and the elders had at our retreat last November. And it will be our focus over 2025 and beyond, as we look to ensure that discipleship is a fundamental foundation and pillar of the Welcome Church and those who call this body of believers home. Friends, we want to be a church that is actively following Jesus, that is being changed by Jesus, and a church that is faithful in the command to join Jesus's mission. Nothing else will do. Nothing else will do. We do not want to be a comfortable church. I appreciate that only you know what you can give. I appreciate that there's going to be some challenges along the way. But Christ never calls us to a comfortable life. He never promises that. He calls us to a faithful life as a disciple and to be his hands and his feet, to represent the kingdom and be an ambassador for him every day of our life, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, however happy it may be, or however challenging it may be. But for this to be effective in the life of the church, it begins with each and every believer in this room committing on this day to jump feet first, to realign ourselves, to get us back on that narrow path as a disciple of Jesus who makes disciples. A disciple of Jesus who makes disciples. We want to see those new to this walk in the way of Christ being discipled. And there are those in this in this fellowship who are new to this walk with Christ. We want to see them being discipled by faithful, trustworthy, mature Christians in this fellowship. And we want to support and help that journey. We want to see mature Christians lead the way in this by modeling and discipling those who are new to faith, who are new to Christianity. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. That's the principle. There are many in this room who have been walking with the Lord for years, and your experience is valuable. Valuable. Is gold. And we have many people in this fellowship who are craving that, to know how do you do it. That's discipleship. That's discipleship. And throughout this year as a leadership, we'll not only be encouraging this to happen, but we will provide opportunities for people to develop their confidence in being a disciple who makes disciples. There are brilliant discipleship courses out there. We could easily turn around and say, yeah, throughout this year, we're going to run 2 or 3 discipleship courses for you to come along, bring your notebook, bring your paper. Is that how Jesus discipled? Don't get me wrong. Those tools are brilliant as tools. But effective discipleship is relational. It's one-on-one. It's small groups. It's you follow me as I follow Christ. Let me take your hand. Let me walk with you. Let's wrestle with this together. Let's open scripture together. Let's pray together. It's personal. It's relational. Just as Jesus did with his disciples when they traveled with him for 3 odd years. And that's is what we want to be, we're going to be working towards at Welcome this year, and then use all these tools to help support that, not the other way around. This will run in situ with a new series that we'll be preaching on again on the first Sunday of every month this year called The Way of Christ. The Way of Christ. The aim of this series is to speak into and focus upon those areas which disciples of Jesus need to have an understanding of in order to be effective, not only in discipling others, but in our mission at hand in the world. I mean, there are many areas we could look, but we streamed out, lined it down, and we will touch on other bits as we go. But the main areas that we will look at will be sin. We throw that word around so much. Sin, but what is it? How do we define it? How do we understand it? How do we watch for it? How do we then communicate this word sin to a world that doesn't recognize the word? Because it's really only ever used in church circles. Because they need to understand what sin is, don't they? Else, how do they know that they need to be saved from it? We will look at sin. We will look at repentance. We will look at what true worship is. Worship this word worship has become muddied just by sung songs. That is a part of worship, but it's not worship. Worship is everything you do in life. The way you speak, the way you think, the way you act, how you approach your day. You do it all for the glory of God. That is worship. We'll explore that in depth. We'll understand the purpose of the scriptures. Why? Why did God do it this way? How important are these really? This book to us really? We will understand and explore prayer, the engine of the Christian life. We will understand the importance of service, because that is what Christ has called us to, a life of service, a life of stewardship, which is another area we will look at. And also we will look at the area of evangelism. And we will spend some time on evangelism, as Rob already started just before Christmas. Because we want to be able to help you, build you up, encourage you, inspire you, equip you to have the confidence to share the hope that is inside you with those the Lord places in front of your path, and to be able to share the gospel. And every one of you will do that different because of your characters and personalities, and that's okay. But as long as we're doing it, then we will continue to provide opportunities for us as a church to engage with our town as we boldly share the love, grace, and salvation of Christ Jesus to those in our town, this mission field that the Lord has placed us in. Can I invite the band up, please? Church, one of the best and simplest explanations of what it is to be a disciple of Christ was coined, or what I found anyway, was coined by the writers at discipleship.org. And they've written a brilliant little book, which I'm working through at the minute. And I'll let you know if that's good to go, good to get once I've finished it. But it's this simple statement. A disciple of Jesus is someone who is following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and is committed to the mission of Jesus. That'd be a great bumper sticker. It wouldn't. Let's not do bumper stickers. But it is important. It is a helpful comment to remember. Put it on your fridge, wherever you need to, just keep reminding yourself, I am a disciple of Jesus. And that means today I need to follow Jesus. I need to allow Christ to change me through my surrendering. And I am today committed to the mission of Jesus. Are we able to honestly say this morning that this reflects the life we are living as believers in Jesus now? If not, don't worry. This isn't a reprimand, okay? This is encouragement. If we're not, don't panic. But let's draw a line in the sand. God is a forgiving God. He is a graceful God. But he's not going to berate us because we've got stuff wrong. But he will use that to teach us and train us and guide us. Amen? Amen. Exciting year ahead of us. So take that challenge with you. Look in the mirror. Go down on your knees, whatever you have to do. But as we journey through this year, let us have a willingness and a commitment to walk together, inspire each other, and encourage each other if we do. Amen? Amen. Amen.